WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The death toll in Texas Hill Country has just risen to 79. It's after a flash flood slammed the area Friday. Governor Greg Abbott is promising a relentless search.
We continue 24/7 operations to search for anybody who was affected by that deadly storm.
And water rescues are still taking place.
First responders along the Guadalupe River continue in search and rescue mode, hoping to find any signs of life. Kirk County Sheriff Larry Letha.
At present, there's over 400 first responders from more than 20 agencies that are working in Kirk County. We have more than a dozen canine working in and near the river.
More than 100 air, water, and ground vehicles as well. So far, more than 850 rescues. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a declaration making today a day of prayer, and Pope Leo XIV with a message of condolences and prayers as well. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
CBS's Karen Hua says there are many questions on if alerts were sent out on people's cell phones in time.
Was there any sort of emergency alert, phone message, siren, warning people about this flash flooding on Friday? We know at this point the Texas Department of Emergency Management put resources in place Thursday when they heard forecasts of at least 8 inches of rain. Officials say they didn't realize the rain would be much heavier than 8 inches, but we want to know if any warning was still given to residents or folks in this area.
Tropical storm Chantel has been downgraded to a depression after making landfall in South Carolina. National Weather Service meteorologist Greg Galina with what's next.
It's going to be slowly moving northward through central North Carolina. It'll be a potential flash flooding threat, given the fact that it will also have similar capability of producing 2 to 3 inch per hour rain rates and some localized totals in excess of 6 inches.
You may just be stuck in traffic right now. That is what it sounds like at Los Angeles International Airport at baggage claim. Millions are heading home by car, plane, and train after the July 4th holiday. Hopefully the patience was also packed, as 72 million were expected to travel over the weekend. With President Trump's 90-day freeze on sweeping U.S. tariffs set to expire Wednesday, the White House has touted new trade agreements with countries in recent weeks. And White House National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett tells Face the Nation more deals will come by midweek.
The headline is going to be that countries are agreeing around the world to open their markets up to our products and to allow us to put some kind of tariff on their products when they come into the U.S.
Authorities say they found the bodies of all 7 people who had been missing since an explosion at a fireworks warehouse in Northern California. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 60 degrees. Sunshine for Monday with a high near 82. Few showers and storms possible Monday night, lows in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid 80s.
Right now, it's 82.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lyerly, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinair will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. To start us off, we have the Todd Alba Show. In the Todd Alba Show, they talk about state politics, national politics, and sports. Overall, the headlines are flying by at a dizzying rate. As we begin to unpack today's news, Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clements calls in to explain exactly what's going on in the NBA draft. The Milwaukee Bucks have made some unexpected moves in efforts to assemble a younger team around superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 1st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you here. The world headquarters, downtown Madison. Puffy clouds in the sky. A beautiful day across most of the state. Glad to be back here in Madison, along with Zommers, after being at our great station up in Green Bay yesterday, WGBW. Again, many thanks to Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen for filling in hour one. It was an eventful day yesterday, Zommers, but nothing compared to what we have coming up today. Lots of news to bring to you at the bottom of the hour. Our very own political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer, will be along live to break down the breaking news a block away at the state capitol early this morning. White smoke emerged from the Capitol Dome. Well, maybe that's a bit dramatic, but there is a budget deal, at least in principle. Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, announced that he had come to terms with the Republican leadership in the legislature. Apparently, there may, keyword may, be some Democratic votes on the Senate side to get this across the finish line. At this hour, we can report to you that the Democratic caucus in the Senate is in caucus. A bit of a consternation there. Perhaps we'll discuss it all with Dan Schaefer at the bottom of the hour. And coming out of Washington, D.C., a little over an hour ago, the United States Senate nearly passed President Trump's massive tax and spending bill. We'll give you the details on that, tell you why it took Vice President Vance to break a tie in the Senate to get that across the finish line. And if that were not enough for a Tuesday on the 1st of July, breaking news out of Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum regarding the Milwaukee Bucks. Nobody covers it better. Nobody knows the inside better than our very own sports reporter, Mike Clements, who is kind enough to join us live on the phone. Mike, thanks for being here. What's new at Fiserv?
Crazy, busy news day all around, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely.
It started last Thursday night during the draft, and the Bucks had told us earlier in the week, because we're saying, hey, you know, what's your plan? Because they let us in, they serve us a dinner, and then we watch the draft as it happens. And then after they make their picks, they come on downstairs. We talk to the GM. Maybe we talk to the player on the speakerphone, maybe one of the owners or something like that, Doc Rivers. They say, you know what? They sort of telegraphed to us. They had no big deals coming up in the first round. Come Thursday night for the second round. We'll open the doors at 6, serve you guys some dinner, watch the draft, and then, you know, John Horst, the Bucks GM, will come down and talk about what happened with that second-round pick. A half hour before they are supposed to open the doors, and I, you know, drive into Milwaukee, they put out a note, no event tonight. Yeah.
I saw this on social media. I follow you on social media. I'm like, who does this? I mean, all these reporters come in. There's got to be something going on, so go ahead.
There was something going on, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's just like, oh, come on, John, just come on down and talk to us. Because you know he's going to get the Giannis questions, right? Because there's all this stuff about Giannis's indecisive, you know, he's watching carefully what the Bucks do. So we talked to Milt Newton about, you know, the kid that they drafted from Serbia, Bogo mm-hmm. Markovic, 19 years old, a forward, accurate shooter. And then we get into the weekend. Now we're into the what they call the legal tampering period, where you can make these agreements, and then actual free agency starts in a couple of days when you can sign the contracts. So the first move that John Horst, the GM, makes is, okay, secure Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
$44 million, 3 years, 30-year-old. And, you know, he had a rough year. The house gets broken into,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then a 25-game suspension because he took the wrong painkiller, you know, for his ankles. Comes back. But, you know, accurate shooter, you know, probably at the peak of his career. So that you sign Bobby. The next thing that happens is, all right, well, Brook Lopez. I mean, one of the things that we saw happen with the Bucks this year is getting up and down the court mm-hmm. and keeping up with teams like the Pacers and, you know, the Thunder, who ended up in the finals. So Brook Lopez, who's originally from Los Angeles, he signs a 2-year deal worth $18 million last night, or agrees to it, to join the Clippers. So at 37 years old, Brook Lopez finishes out his career on the West Coast. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now what are you going to do at center? You got that Jericho Sims kid that you picked up in the offseason. Bobby Portis can play some center. If need be, Giannis could probably move to the center. So today they make this huge move. They get Miles Turner from the Pacers, your competitor in the Eastern Conference, on a 4-year deal worth $107 million. The Pacers right now, similar to the Bucks, they're scratching their heads because Tyler Halliburton, mm-hmm. the kid out of Oshkosh North High School, their star player, what happened to him? He went down with the torn Achilles in the NBA Finals. So as they're trying to figure out what to do there, somehow Horst gets their center for 4 years, $107 million. Where's that money going to come from? We're going to waive Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying goodbye to Damian Lillard after 2 years. Very accurate shooter, great team leader, but 35 years old. Later this month, he'll be 36 when he comes back from the Achilles, let's say a year from now. Remember, he had first the calf injury, the blood clot, and then the torn Achilles. So the early word is Dame is okay with this. You know, it's like, all right, now the pressure's off. The owners, Wes Edens, and Jimmy from Cleveland they're going to be paying this guy $22.5 million a year for the next 5 years in dead money.
Wow!
So get this thing under the cap,
Mike Clemens. Help me understand, because I don't follow this stuff, especially in the NBA like you do. By waiving him in the NBA like that, is there any opportunity that he could still theoretically come back to the Bucks at some point in the future?
Yeah, but you know the way all this is set up, it's like no, you know, we're moving on.
Okay,
in the immediate right now, that means that Dame can also move back to Portland, you know, where his family is.
Sure,
just focus on his rehab, and then maybe decide if he wants to, you know, get back into being playing or get behind the anchor desk and analyze it. I thought about that today. I thought about that if they could bring him back, but again, he'll be 36 years old. And what do the Bucks need? They need younger guys around Giannis. So their new center, this Miles Turner, is 29 years old, right?
Yep.
And so they get that deal. Now they still got to get a little bit under the cap. They had just signed Pat Connaughton, you know, a Bucks fan favorite, to a 3-year deal worth like $9 million. He agreed to that about a month or so ago. Well, now they need another million or so. So they trade him off today after they get the Turner deal down, out to the Charlotte Hornets, struggling team. They also had to give up 2 more picks. I mean, I don't think I'm going to have a draft to cover for the next 5 years with the Milwaukee Bucks. They sent like the 2030 and 2031 second-round picks to the Hornets, obviously, so that they could get Connaughton off their books In exchange, they're picking up a 31-year-old guard from Serbia named Vasilije Micić.
Who, God bless you.
Thank you. It's allergy season.
Right.
Micić is 31. Now, his agent says, you know, he was already sort of thinking about going back and playing in the European League. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that is. But basically, you're swapping paychecks, right?
Right.
With the Hornets. And the Hornets are holding up for, you got any draft picks left over there? Right. Yeah, we'll take those 2 second rounders 5 years from now. So that's it. Now you're still kind of short at guard because yesterday you brought back some of these guys you picked up during the season. When remember you decided to move on from Chris Middleton, right? Sent him to the Wizards. Right. So Gary Trent Jr., 25 years old, was averaging about 12, 13 points a game. Mm-hmm. He agreed to a 2-year deal yesterday worth only $7.5 million. A lot of observers say, "Wow, that's a deal for the Bucks." But Gary Trent's like, "Hey, I'm 25. I can play next to Giannis. Dame ain't coming back this year. Here's an open door. I got a 1 year to prove it, and then I could cash in." They also get Kevin Porter Jr. for $11 million. He was going to test the market, and they're going to bring back Taurean Prince, the 31-year-old forward. So all those guys, those three guys that were on the team this year, 2 year deals where they will get a player option in their second year.
Absolutely incredible.
That's all these moves they made. And they brought in one more guard today, Gary Harris, 30-year-old guy out of the Orlando Magic. He's been in the league like 11 years to help round out the guard depth.
Mike Clemens, I'll ask you what I'm sure you're dying to ask the Bucks management and ownership. The big question of all of this, is this enough to keep Giannis in Milwaukee?
They're probably waiting for him to return the phone call.
Wait, he retweeted our own Dan Schaefer today. Did you see that?
No, that's great.
Schaefer put out on his tweets that they should retire Bobby Portis's number at Fiserv, and Giannis retweets it and says 1,000,000%.
That's great. That's great. Well, yeah. Hey, at the end of the day, you got to assume that all these moves, what do you think if we get this guy?
Right.
What do you think if we get? What do you think if you got Miles Turner as your new center? Okay.
Right.
And listen, we understand. You can't stand to spend all next year watching Dame on the bench.
Yep.
So we'll try and make some moves here. Now, they're not right now they don't have a shooter as accurate with all the experience and all the talent of a Damian Lillard, but this is the best that they can come up with so far.
Yeah. Mike Clemens, like I say, I really appreciate you doing this on short notice with this breaking news. You follow this stuff better than anybody I know. We're lucky to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you'll continue to update our listeners at the bottom and the top of each hour with your great sports reporting.
Anytime, Todd. Much appreciated, pal.
Appreciate you. Mike Clemens, everybody, on the phone live with that breaking news from the Bucks. Again, free agent Miles Turner is joining the team, and Damian Lillard is waived. So that's among some of the bigger moves. Also, because Mike Clemens said, comes after Brooke Lopez made the move from the team going to the LA Clippers. So lots of moves, all intended to keep Giannis in Milwaukee. That is the breaking sports news out of Milwaukee this day, closer to home. As we said at the top of the show, white smoke, so to speak, from the state capitol, as Governor Tony Evers announced this morning via a press release, and others of Republicans have seemed to confirm this, that there is a deal in part, or at least on paper, a gentle person's handshake, if you will, to have a state budget. Governor Tony Evers, according to the Associated Press, and Republicans who control the state legislature, announced the deal early this morning. Just after 5 a.m. on a new 2-year budget that cuts income taxes, increasing funding for the University of Wisconsin, despite those threatened cuts, and raises taxes to pay for transportation projects. The deal in the battleground state where Evers and Republicans have a long history of not working together emerged the day after the deadline for enacting a new budget. However, there is no government shutdown in Wisconsin where when the budget is late, the legislature is scheduled to pass it this week. Evers, in his release this morning, called it a, quote, pro-kid budget. That's a win for Wisconsin's kids, families, and our futures, unquote. We're going to break this down just after the bottom of the hour with our very own Dan Schaefer, of the aforementioned Dan Schaefer, great Bucks fan that he is, but also, I would say, an even better political journalist and writer. And he's going to be in to help us recombobulate on all of that. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, the news today is completely discombobulated, Dan Schaefer. I don't think that. I mean, if anybody can keep his combobulation together, it's our own Dan Schaefer. So he'll be along at the bottom of the hour. Here's what's breaking now. State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, who has been kind enough to join us on this program every Monday through the budget process, was scheduled to be on this show right about now. However, Senate Democrats have decided to caucus, and she's been pulled into that caucus. She will join us if and when she can via phone. But there appears to be, keyword appears, to be a bit of consternation amongst Democrats after their own governor announced there's a deal done. What's going on there? We'll discuss that. And also in D.C., it took J.D. Vance getting up off the couch to cast the last vote. We'll explain when we come back. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Getting out of the couch?
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, like, worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
A little change of pace. We have Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, who welcomes Carl Levenstein, founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. Carl shares his career as a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh that led him to be a distiller. Pete asks how the distilling process works, and Carl shares what you can get at his distillery.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me. It's a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight, slightly different than last night. We had Kurt Newman of the Bodines here. That was fun. And we had, who else do we have on the show, Connor? That was a lot of fun.
Well, we had your buddy Nathan Deming.
I know. I was testing you. And Jeffrey Kurz. That was a great talk about film incentives coming to Wisconsin. And tonight is no different, folks. We have a great guest here in studio right now. Lisa Hale will be here at 7:35. We'll be talking about the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday. It's Alan Ruck's birthday today, so we thought that was a good night to do Ferris Bueller. But before that, we are talking about Sturgeon Spirits Distillery and all the products they make. The distiller is here in the studio, and he is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits, Carl Lowenstein. It's great to have you here. Before we went to the break, I mentioned you gave a very funny answer about, but what is the difference, really? I had all these friends where I used to live that loved scotch and turned me on to scotch, and they would drink 18-year-old scotch. I don't even know what that goes for right now in terms of the cost, but I found a 10-year scotch at Trader Joe's that I loved. And to me, it tasted as good as anything I had. What is the difference? And is it like to the naked palate? Is it that much different?
Well, I think I my answer was silly, but it's basically true. Eight years. So what happens is that whiskey sits in contact with a barrel for an additional 8 years, which should mellow it out more.
Okay.
Which there's a little more evaporation. So
less burn?
Have a little less burn.
Okay.
But I haven't had whiskey around that long, so I can't tell you from personal experience how much the difference is going to be. I mean, I've tried some of those older whiskeys, and I tend to think that the mash overpowers the barrel when you get to that stage. Because barrels, for me, I've noticed that barrels kind of get use up their character. So, okay. You know, after a certain amount of time, you're just not going to get that much more flavor out of the barrel. You're just kind of just letting it rest. So it's kind of that resting that I think can change the complexion. But I don't know the chemistry. I'm not a chemist. I'm a historian.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on chemically.
Do you like to drink? I would assume you have a pretty good sense of all the stuff if you went into business. Like you like a good cocktail. Where's your level of drinking?
Yeah, I always say I didn't go into this just because I wanted free booze. But I really was into the making it as a craft. Because what I did in my garage is I would make liqueurs that I would give at gifts. So in fact, I gave you a little sample of cranberry vodka, which was basically the first product I made at home.
Oh, no
because
kidding.
This is there, and you sweeten it a little bit. It makes a great Cosmo. You use it for Christmas gifts. You know, you can make all sorts of really nice drinks. And so I got into just making alcohol for cocktails. Now, I like to drink. My favorite right now is we have this lavender gin. I do a lavender gin and tonic, which I love every night.
Huh.
And then, you know, we're always got something new, some new cocktails, just taste. So,
you know, I'm going to hold this up here on the stream again. This is a cranberry vodka from Sturgeon Spirits that Carl brought in. And even the packaging, it's very slick packaging, by the way. But how do you decide on how to package stuff? The whole thing seems like it would be so time consuming, and you're retired.
Well, what I would say is I leaned on good people. One of the things that makes a business like this work is finding good people and work with them. My brand design, my shape, my sturgeon, it was all designed by this amazing local design team in Oshkosh who made this lovely package. That Quill Design Studios put this whole thing together, and that became the basis for everything that we do. I hired an architect to make sure our building and our tasting room and our fit the kind of character that we wanted to create. So at every step of the way, you find the right people, you can make this whole thing work.
And it's a great passion project for you.
It is.
Yeah. So what's the most, tell us this first. Where did the name Sturgeon Spirits come from?
Well, I think it's a celebration of our community. I mean, one of the things in the Lake Winnebago Basin and the Fox River and all through the area are these great, amazing primordial fish that has the weirdest fishing season you can possibly imagine, right? A frozen lake and you spear them. I mean, this is a phenomenon that you will see nowhere else in the world. And I wanted to celebrate that. And I'll tell you one more story because I do like to tell stories. So the house I bought when I moved to Oshkosh 25 years ago was also built by sturgeon poachers. So I'm connected to the history of sturgeon. So the family that built this house, apparently, though they actually started to put the control on sturgeon fishing back in the 20s because the dang Russians were taking all the caviar, right? They were fishing out the whole population for caviar. And so they put this caps on, but the people who owned the house just kept right on fishing the sturgeon out of the lake. They had a smokehouse in the backyard, and then they would sell them out of their ice business.
Wow. That's fascinating. And what better mascot, so to speak, for your business than a sturgeon for a history professor, because they're so old, they're like prehistoric. It says this ancient species made its first appearance about 100 million years ago. Is that 100 million?
100 million years ago.
Okay, in the upper Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era. You're in the weeds here with your history stuff, but that's a great name. And you guys do a lot for the community too. We'll get to that maybe after the news, but what's the most difficult spirit to make? Like, is there one that's finicky? Like you have to be overly meticulous when you're distilling it?
I haven't found anything that's been really hard to do. I have a lot of, I have temperature control issues, right? So one of the things you have to worry about is yeast is really picky. You got to keep your temperature down. If it gets too high, the yeast basically kills itself. It gets too low, they stop being active. You got to keep your pH right. So there's a lot of chemistry that I have to deal with. But the recipes themselves, the base distilling hasn't been radically different from one product to the next.
That is fascinating. All right. We have Carl Lowenstein is in the studio. He is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery in Oshkosh, and they do tours. They have tons of craft cocktails. He's only been in business for less than 2 years. And after the news, the second act, after intermission, we're going to come back and talk about how you use rhubarb in your vodkas. And you have a jalapeno vodka. I don't know if you're the first to ever do that. It's the first I've heard of it. So we'll talk about that and Carl's process and more about what they do for the community and how you can be part of a great experience at Sturgeon Spirits. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming back on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I thank God I'm
alive. Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. The death toll is 79 from flash floods in Texas. About a dozen people from a camp remain missing. Terry DeBusk says the community is coming together.
I'm devastated by what's happened to these families, to this town, but I'm also joyful to see the efforts that the community is all pitching in.
At San Francisco International, authorities are at the pickup drop-off location trying to get traffic flowing. It's after the July 4th holiday weekend where a record 72 million nationwide were expected to travel. In Philadelphia, a municipal workers' strike is about to hit the one-week mark. CBS's Ray Strickland is there with where both sides are at odds.
A 13% raise over 4 years. At last check, the union was asking for 20% over that same period.
LL Cool J decided not to perform in the city this weekend in support of the workers. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers are at home tomorrow night against the Dodgers, and they needed a win today in Miami to take the series against the Marlins 2-1. Brandon Woodruff on the mound in his first start in nearly 2 years was outstanding, allowing just 2 hits. One earned run, 8 strikeouts through 6 innings pitched. Then Jackson Chourio at the plate, top of the third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
There's one guy that doesn't really care what kind of stuff a pitcher has on the mound. It is Jackson Chourio right here.
And a drive into left field. That'll get a run in. Plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Chourio goes deep. His 15th. It's 2-0. Slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate and Chourio crushed it.
The Brewers went on to win today 3-1. Tomorrow night it's Freddy Peralta against the Dodgers at American Family Field. With sports on.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says 3 contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 60 degrees. Sunshine for Monday with a high near 82. Few showers and storms possible Monday night, lows in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now, it's 82.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lierley, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinair will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up on the docket, we talk to Pat with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Political strategist Melissa Baldoff reacts to the breaking news about the Wisconsin Supreme Court throwing out an 1849 statute that some had interpreted as an abortion ban. She also evaluates the bipartisan state budget deal. Both stories offer quite a reminder of the importance of every election. Plus, in our climate check, some ingenuity allows a farm field to still be used for grazing as well as a solar farm. Make the panels mobile and let the cows graze.
I am very thankful that Melissa Baldoff is willing to come in here once a week and talk about climate issues. It's a subject near and dear to her heart, but she wears many hats as a consultant, as a political strategist, and more. And so we're probably going to spend more time in this segment on a couple of other matters, and then we'll get to a little bit of our climate check and the happy cows that can result from a little bit of creativity when it comes to solar farms that are out there. But Melissa is going to help us first deal with the new budget deal right after we talk about the breaking news of the state Supreme Court throwing out the 1849 law that some had considered to be an abortion ban. Melissa, good morning. What's your take on the state Supreme Court throwing that 1849 law out, kicking it to the curb?
Good morning. It is a good morning. And this is exactly what, I think so many people wanted to see happen was a fair and impartial court invalidating a law that, is almost 200 years old and really impacted the rights of women to make our own healthcare decisions. So this is, this is a law that predates us even, just knowing about germs, right? I mean, this is ridiculous that this had been on the books for so long. And it is just an incredible win for the people of this state to have women's rights and freedoms restored by this court.
Well, and on top of that, for all this talk about, originalism and what founders intended and all that, why would we take away from the notion that we have had continuously changing government, continuously changing society for these past 150, 200 years? And what the progressive justices were saying was, look, there have been all of these other changes to abortion law over the years, so many different changes that it basically can't help but overrule the stuff that was written earlier. Because, again, elections have consequences. You have different people in charge each time. They've made these changes of law. Looking at this, and I have skimmed it as quickly as I could, and I have to say this AI summary that Tony has helped put together and shared with us is, I think, pretty good. It says, the court erased the state's near-total criminal abortion ban as a matter of statutory construction, not constitutional law. Abortions may resume within the detailed and sometimes onerous regulatory framework enacted since the 1970s. They note that the legislature retains full authority to tighten or loosen that framework, and the ruling invites renewed legislative deliberation rather than ending the debate. And again, Melissa, it's just a matter of, we, with all the respect you can have for your founders, they don't get to tie our hands. We still get to live in the here and now, whether you're talking about muskets versus assault weapons or women's role in society and the rights they have now versus then.
Exactly. You know, this is one of those perfect illustrations of why the, you know, Constitution is a living document. It was always intended to adapt and change with the times, and the framers could ever have conceived of the society we have now. I think if you took, you know, the framers and dropped them in today's society, you know, their heads might explode when they saw, you know, all of the technology we have and where we've come, you know. And that's just the whole point, is that it was always intended to be a document that was changed, was adapted. The only thing that isn't supposed to change is, you know, the core principles and beliefs of, you know, life, liberty, and justice for all. That's the foundation, not, you know, any other specific prescriptive words necessarily, because those can change and should change and have changed. And the abortion law here is, you know, a great example. It's, you know, kind of like the, you know, ship of Theseus, right? And that's, I think, where we've gotten with this, the end of this case, right? Is like where it started, it's changed so much. Is it even that thing that it started as anymore? And it's really not, you know, it's changed so many times what the, you know, what the law is on abortion and what the ruling is. So, you know, I think that this is a great day for women, you know, to make their own healthcare decisions again, even though we know that there are limits there, but, you know, protect things like IVF, which would have been completely at risk here, and make sure that, you know, women and families have the right to make their own decisions about what's best for them.
Yeah. Folks that want to start their own theocracy can do it, you know, someplace else, because right here, every election matters. And yes, we live in a time where the next election is always the most important election. The one that switched control of this state Supreme Court was the most important election of its time. Prior to that, the re-election of Governor Tony Evers was the most important election of its time, which takes us to our next subject, the new state budget deal. Governor Evers worked it out with Republicans who control the legislature. It will be a very bipartisan vote later today in the Assembly and the Senate, with Democrats voting yes and no, Republicans voting yes and no, and people having very strong feelings on depending on what end of the spectrum they're coming from. And I'm not saying all that to say that this is a good deal, Melissa. But again, if Tony Evers had not won election, you know, the way this would look under a Governor Tim Michaels administration is a hell of a lot different.
It absolutely is. And, you know, this isn't the budget that the governor wanted. The budget the governor wanted is the one he proposed. But this is, I think, this is a very good deal considering what the alternative was. And this, I think, shows the incredible commitment of the governor and his staff. I want to make sure to really shout out my former colleagues in the governor's office and throughout state government for their work on this, because yes, it is the leaders and the principals, you know, making a lot of these deals, but it's also an incredible, incredible amount of work by the staff to get there. And their commitment to this is just unparalleled. But I applaud the governor and our Democratic leader getting there, because this is, I do believe, the best deal we could get out of this legislature. But at the same time, I respect and value and support the Democrats who are going to vote against this, because it's not what we deserve, and it's not the best budget for the state. It's the best budget we could get right now, but it's the best budget but it's not the best budget for the state. So, you know, I think that they are correct to, you know, hold the line for themselves and for their constituents, and to draw the contrast of, you know, what is going to be in the state budget and what could be and should be in the state budget. And they'll really have a chance to demonstrate that when Democrats are in the majority in, you know, a couple of years here with the budget. That's the goal. That's what we think is going to happen. Democrats taking back the Senate, and an incredibly good chance to take back the Assembly. And the budget that will pass in 2 years because of that is going to look a whole lot different than this one. And it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of this state. So I think this was, you know, the right choice, even though it's a very difficult one. But Governor Evers has proven time and time again that he is willing to make the difficult choices that need to happen.
We're talking to Melissa Baldoff, and we've covered the legislative matters, the court matters. Now let's get to something that really matters: happy cows. And the
which I've got to just say, I still take a lot of issue with the whole marketing campaign of happy cows come from California.
Oh yeah,
from years ago, from years past. I mean, it's
that's
just
bull, pun intended, by the way. So yeah, that's, we know where the happy cows are. And,
that's right,
and they're up here. The story actually comes out of Morris, Minnesota, a University of Minnesota campus out there. But for all of the caterwauling about solar farms that says, well, it, you know, the crops won't be able to grow now and cattle won't be able to graze now, I was always a little dubious of that, because like anything else, you know, you pick your shot. You use what is best for the land if you can. But if you can use a little creativity, then so much the better. And the story out of Minnesota is all about how a solar array, a whole bunch of solar panels, are put on top of basically an electric powered vehicle, a tractor, a truck, whatever the case may be, that slowly moves along the field so that the cows can graze in the shade underneath the panels. I don't know if I have a particular climate question here. I'm just here to salute good old American ingenuity for getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is such a cool story. I loved when you sent me this. I mean, talk about innovation. And like you said, using what you have. So this is, I think, just incredible to see the fact that, you know, we know that we have seen so many farmers and producers and folks in the ag industry be incredibly committed to climate solutions. And it is just great to see that, you know, you can do both things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, as my husband Joseph Pecky likes to say quite often. And that is that we can do right by the planet and continue doing business in a way that is going to be productive and beneficial. So, you know, I think this is a great example of that. And I hope to see, you know, more, I hope to see some farms in Wisconsin employing this approach, because it seems really neat.
I've never been able to ask Melissa a personal question like this, but she has opened up the door for it. Tell me that Joseph Pecky has used that saying during discussions between the two of you to say, well, two things can be true at once. I didn't do the dishes and I was very busy today.
No. So he definitely uses it in personal conversation with me and with the kids, but not to get out of his share of
the
household chores.
All right. The solar trailer, by the way, has a capacity of 60 kilowatt hours. The panels are equivalent to about 18 kilowatt hours. It obviously does not have a long extension cord, you know, that's tied to the grid. So you're powering these batteries that can then be used, you know, later on down the road. But again, it's just another way of saying that invention never stops. When I was there was a special legislative committee on biofuels, and there were a lot of people going, oh, ethanol is terrible for the plant, blah, blah, blah. But the research that's being done on biodiesel all across Wisconsin, and so that you need less of a carbon footprint, you know, to grow the corn or the different crops that make biofuels, I was just amazed by. People wanted this knee-jerk reaction to oppose ethanol. Look at the research and watch how it's evolving and unfolding. And that frankly, given where the Trump administration is, I think that's where we're going to get, you know, the positive stories, is the ongoing role of innovation.
I agree. And that I'm going to use that to tie back to very briefly, and I'll make a point here, I promise, our conversation on the budget. And one of the reasons I think that the budget deal is the right one is because of the investment that is coming into our university system with this budget. When Republicans initially wanted to do nothing, and now we're going to get a big investment for the UW system. And, you know, this story we see is in partnership, the project, with one of the University of Minnesota campuses.
Yep.
And the campus is carbon neutral now, thanks to their advancements in energy production. So Perfect. We want to make sure that we can keep innovating on our campuses as well. That's very important to our progress.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and much more. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great 4th.
Thanks, you too.
All right, a local update is next for some of you, and the rest of you will come back here for some final news and notes and a visit with James Kelly. Remember, you can follow me at upnorthnewswi.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seat belts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or take it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to our last and final segment of the Civic Media Spotlight. We're finishing out with a good one in Mino and the Mayor. Mino and the Mayor is joined by Jackson Manikowski for a signing of Ray Charles' America the Beautiful to commemorate the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, folks.
Hey, welcome back. Wrapping up here on a beautiful Wednesday morning right now in downtown Appleton, downtown Oshkosh. Are we downtown in Appleton? I was going to say Appleton.
No, so we're not.
Okay.
We're Green Bay.
Well, right we got now. Two downtowns.
Green Bay.
Yep.
Sunny Iceland, shower and storms this afternoon, high in the mid-80s today.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It is, Jim.
Yeah, it is, Jim. Thank you. We got a text. Oh, by the way, the Brewers at the Mets, 11:35 today, wrapping it up, and then 5:35 on WISS. And I got a text here. We're talking about those boats with amazing wake. Jim will never have one. They are too slow for him.
3 miles an hour, that's a little slow. That is a little slow, Dave.
Throw that one up.
So we do have a chance for some showers and storms. The chance is dropping, but it's still there for this afternoon.
Okay. It's been all over the place this year, though. Hasn't it, though?
What app are you using? And what's the city that you have there, Jim?
It's just chance of participation.
Orlando. Participation or precipitation?
Precipitation. And it goes maybe 5%.
Okay, mine says, and I'm checking right? three apps right now, 45%.
Okay. How do I know what app this is? I don't even know how to tell.
You're asking me? Did you actually ask me a question with the word app?
Yeah, I don't know.
You could pick any person off the street and ask them that question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it looks like 40% chance of rain after 5 p.m.
I'm using the 10-day forecast app. Does that help?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway. I don't know either.
All right. We'll go with yours, Todd.
All right. So, Todd, tell us again about tomorrow if people heard that and would like to hear it again.
So, two things. Number one, you can download your podcast every day. Nancy actually said, if you see there on your screen, Nancy actually said she's going to download this podcast and keep it on her phone or her computer awesome. So she can listen to it anytime. You can do that as well. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. You can get it on the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us. Click on shows. Click on Mino and the Mayor. Tomorrow morning in our Daddy D Productions live music series, we're going to basically replay what we just heard on the show.
That sounds great. That sounds great.
Is Terry coming on?
Terry is not.
All right. So she was going to talk about what she has going on Sunday. I interviewed for my show on Sunday the Bayshore Bicycle Club. They've been around since 1981. Everybody's heard about them. I wasn't sure what they did. Do you know that they do 3 rides a week? They have 120 members. You'll like this. On Wednesdays, they ride to a supper club.
Oh, really? I've never heard of that.
No.
That sounds really cool.
That's what I said. I'm in. I asked about favorites. He goes, I'm really going to mention favorites.
Try them all. Huh?
Try them all.
That's cool. I think that's awesome.
And then Sundays, they do a ride and one other day of the week. And, you know, they... probably 12 miles an hour, maybe 14. It's not like they're speedsters, but because Sundays it's a little
great way to see. You know, we were talking about one of the best ways to see a community is on the water. The other way is
on a bike. Yeah,
not even a question.
No one ever gets left behind, right? I mean, if you're a little slower, he goes, we would never leave anybody behind. But just a cool organization. And I said, so what's like the mission? Like, what's the most important thing? You think, well, it's health and, you know, really appreciating biking. He goes, really, it's the social aspect. We talked about exactly what we talked about today again, is that how important, even with the realtor, how important socialization is. And if you don't socialize, it can, you know, be not good. I said, well, so what about the winter? Oh, he goes, you know, we do snowshoeing and other things. So that's, I said, well, have you
gets them out of the house.
I said, have you considered a name change?
You know,
he said, no, we talked about it, but no, we're going
to stay. But I'm a firm believer in that, especially for people getting up there a little bit, if they're retired or anything like that, give them a good reason to get out of the house.
So he said, that's what they do. I thought it was just
I think that's awesome. Really cool. I really do.
And we had a nice visit. So,
you should join them. You got a bike.
And he said that I asked him about average age and it would be like probably 10 years younger than us, but it's not, still, it's not a bunch of like 18, 19 year olds.
Right.
So it's more adults that, so yeah, it's $25 a year, $30 bucks a year. So anyway,
I think that's great.
That guy, it was really interesting for me. And then I talked to him a little bit more. Actually, the reason I know those guys is they'd come to meetings. Cause when we built the new street, they always want a bike lane.
Oh, and you're a mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might not be here though. Cause I might be accepting a new job.
What's that?
I just got it. Good morning. I'm Elena, customer service representative from Best Buy. Your resume has been recommended by multiple online recruitment platforms.
Oh, my gosh, John. Really? You think that could come through?
Yeah.
Being a guy in a blue shirt?
Yeah.
Welcome to Best Buy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No experience required? Right. Free training?
Right.
Monthly salary $6,000 to $10,000?
Annual.
So somebody comes into the store, John. Let's role play just briefly. I come in.
Certainly.
High tech.
I'm going to be an older gentleman. Okay.
Hi, hey, I'm John. May I help you?
Well, John, my name is Edward.
Edward, good to see you.
I got a phone here about 6 years ago.
You're wearing that hat, that cap. Where you're in the Army? What branch?
That's exactly.
Army? So when were you in?
I was back in 48.
No, you were in 48. Come on.
At any rate, John, I'm having problems with...
But what were you, Army?
Yeah, absolutely.
Army?
Yeah.
What division? Yeah. Fourth division?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Solid day.
What do you got there?
I've got a phone.
I got one too.
Yeah.
This thing, though, I got to be honest with you. I can't figure out. I'll tell you. Let me just show you something, Edward.
Yeah.
Do you know how to get? Look at this. Hang on a second.
Are you having some problems? I might be able to help you with that.
I dropped it, and I don't know if I need a new one. I'm sorry. What'd you say here?
Can't make a phone call. For some reason, it's just giving me the wrong forecast. It's saying that it's going to be nice today, but I think it's going to rain.
Yeah, yeah. Don't believe that. Don't believe that stuff.
This is exactly
Edward,
how it would
right?
go.
Yeah.
Edward, no, it would.
You, Edward, you think you got problems with your phone? The guy I work with, you can't believe this.
Or somebody would walk in and they would say to you, hey, could you help me with this app? And it's like, the applications are over there if you want a job. Right. You know?
I'm looking for some Bluetooth headphones. Right. What can I?
Yeah. No, we don't sell toothbrushes here. So.
Sure, I'm not happy with the service I've received here. Well, you know what? Yeah. We're not happy with you. Yeah. How's that? No.
Nah, John, pass on that. Stay with radio. Stick with radio. Just you belong
another,
here.
Another edition of Mino in the Mirror
That's
Theater
right.
this morning.
You belong right
Todd,
here.
Todd, you did a phenomenal job putting everything together.
So did John Kramer.
Phenomenal job. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We're going to be playing those back again tomorrow. That was just awe-inspiring.
You got to be in the spirit now.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. At least 79 people are dead after powerful flooding saturates central Texas. Most are in hard-hit Kerr County, where many children are among the dead. That's from Mass at Notre Dame Catholic Church in Kerrville. Jose Gonzalez lives nearby.
I notice a lot of kids, a lot of babies. I feel sorry for the parents.
Amid the prayers and well wishes, stories of survival. KHOU-TV's Amanda Henderson has one man's story.
Through tears and shock, the family of 27-year-old Julian Ryan tells us the father, brother, and fiancé died a hero. In the early Friday morning hours, floodwater suddenly swelled into the home he shared with his fiancé and mother in Ingram, close to the Guadalupe River.
And it just started pouring in. We had to fight the door to get it closed. And we ran back to the room and started calling 911.